recorded.
Well, that scripture, I felt impressed toward the beginning, especially of last week, maybe the end of the week before. And I thought, surely if I was picking a scripture, what I know today, that scripture is what I would pick. And I think all of us realize we're human, we're finite, and our life is like a vapor. And so I want us to think seriously about that. As I said, this message God put on my heart before I knew anything that was going to happen on Friday. My wife especially knows people in that synagogue. In fact, she has taught for 15 years in a carriage house. It's right there in Squirrel Hill. And so she knows all those children. In fact, the young Jewish girl that was sort of speaking at this joint service, I didn't make the service, but this girl, my wife had in her class when she was 2 years old. And so she was really holding her breath, wondering what names would be called. And while our hearts mourned for each of them, there was none that she knew. And there was no children. So there's mercy in many ways. And there's, of course, the mercy that were some brave, very brave men who went in and stopped this. Or it could have been much, much worse. So our hearts surely are sobered. Don't want to be joking. Don't want to be laughing too much. Want to be thinking. Life is serious. And there's not one of you that can look me in the eye and say, I have tomorrow. Not one of you. None of us have tomorrow. And so, as we share this truth, I hope it will touch you as much as it's touched me and be a reminder to us. So, there's 4 points I'd like to just share with you on this. Let me first of all just say something. I love you people. Sometimes we don't say it often enough. But I think I've been coming here, I don't want to guess how many years. It's at least over 10, it might be 15, I don't remember. But Pam and I feel like you're part of our family. Maybe we'll fade off the scene before too long, but I want to tell you that. That's important that you know what our hearts is, what we feel toward you. So I want to talk to you about life. Life on earth is relatively short. Life is a journey. Every time I think of this, and I've used this illustration many times, I think of the Greater Pittsburgh International Airport. And depending whether you want short-term parking or long-term parking or extended parking, some of you would know that there is a movable walkway. And you can always tell when somebody's in extreme hurry. When you're sprinting on the moving sidewalk, you're in a hurry. But when you're on it, you just have a sense that you're being carried along. You remember you get to the end and it says, please watch your step when you're exiting this sidewalk. And every one of us are on a one-way street. Life is finite. It's like a line segment. You would know line segments, right? Has a beginning point and an ending point. By the way, my wife and I do have a joy in the fact that I had a new grandson born this morning. His name's James Tiberio.
James Tiberio.
His father's Tim Tiberio. And I'm Terry Tiberio.
Yes.
And my father's name was Jim Tiberio. And my grandfather, who immigrated here to the United States in 1913, was John Tiberio. So this is sort of significant to us, and this is the only son with a Tiberio name. But you and I all had a beginning, and we are headed for an end point. Men have dreamt and struggled and figured out how can I elongate my life. But God numbers our days. And you can never go back. And every year you live is a smaller percentage of your life. Young people, you can check the math on this. But when you go from 10 years old to 11, your life increases by 10%. When you go from 40 to 41, your life increases by 2.5%. When you go from 70 to 71, it's 1.4%. Now what that does to us, it gives us an illusion that life is speeding up. It's sort of like flipping a book. Going from one chapter to another chapter to another chapter. Elementary school. Middle school. High school. College. Graduate school. Job. And retirement. You think it'll never happen. But some people here could tell you differently. Life moves quick. And when you compare your earthly life to eternity, it even becomes more amazing. If you live to the age of 100, you lived a pretty good life, as lifespans go. But if you spend 100 years in eternity, only 50% of your life would have been spent here. And I realize that's not theologically correct. There's not time in eternity. But just follow me on this. If you die and spend 1,000 years of eternity, only 10% of your life was on this earth. If you die and spend 100,000 years in eternity, only 0.1% of your life was spent on this earth. And yet, in 1 billion years, eternity has hardly begun. Now, you can criticize my approach on the math on this, but you get the point. Internationals come to our Bible study, I hold up my finger like this and said, "That's your life." This life is like that. Life on earth is, second of all, unpredictable. Now, I for one am glad I don't know what will happen tomorrow. If you're one of these time machine type of people and you want to go out and see what's happening, good luck. I can only handle one day at a time. And usually I have to break that day down into segments. But what will happen tomorrow, you don't know, I don't know. You can do the best you can to prevent the unexpected. And I don't want to depress you right now, but I think some things is important for us to consider. I can tell you this, when you get over 65, you appreciate your health. I remember my mother, and she passed away when she was 97. But most all the time she said, if you just have your health. You know, young, you got energy and you're thinking, yeah, Mom, I guess. I get a cold sometimes, Mom, but really, health is the most important thing. Just wait. It's unpredictable what your health will be in the future or what the economy will be in the future. And I don't want to get you all phobic, but there's car accidents, there's train accidents, there's bus accidents, there's plane accidents. It's unpredictable. And there are new opportunities. And lost opportunities. That's life. Some people think, well, if I become a Christian, I'll always be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Good luck with that one. Good luck with that one. In fact, Christians have unique problems that people in the world don't know anything about. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have Jesus in my heart. I have a reason for living. I have a solid foundation I can stand on. Do you realize to worry is an insult to God? I'm not talking about the emotions. You can't control your emotions. But I mean to give in to worry. There's three things you should tell yourself that is an insult to God. When I fear, that insults God. When I'm troubled, that insults God. And when I worry, that insults God. Now that has helped me so much. We human beings are very funny about things. We almost think like we're obligated to worry. We almost feel like if we're not troubled, then we're not very intelligent people. No. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I have set my heart. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let this world trouble me. And I'm not going to be fearful about the future. My life is in His hands. The third thing I want to tell you is life will have an end. Yes, we must all come to the end of the moving sidewalk. Hebrews 9:29 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, to die once, but after this, the judgment. Amidst all the uncertainties and unpredictabilities of life, there is one thing that is 100% certain. Our life on earth will come to an end. I had a dear saint of God that I pastored probably about 30 years ago, and she would always stand up and says, whether it's the undertaker or whether it's the upper taker, I'm looking to see Jesus again.
Just 是不管你是那个送葬的还是进去天堂的，我的盼望就是进去会面见耶稣。
Now, nobody in their right mind is saying, I hope my life ends today. But on the other hand, I have no fear of death. I think of the old song, One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. It'll be worth it all to see Jesus. That's what we should be living for. Wake up! Don't be asleep! Don't be drifting along and then your life comes to an end before you know it. Finally, life has only a few things that really matter. Now I'll tell you something about myself. Some of you are doctors here, I know. I had a doctor tell me that I was tightly wound. He was half kidding, of course. But I am. I'm a type of person, I'm in a rush. And in my engineering mind, I can get sidetracked on a little detail. But life is about realizing that there's a lot of things that just don't matter. You're upset, you're angry, you're frustrated. But step back. Let it go. It doesn't really matter. I've been married a few years. Probably four decades plus. But I can tell you this. It's possible, gentlemen, to have a fight every day of your marriage. Unless you back up and ask yourself an important question. Does it really matter? Is it that bad if she asks me to sweep the floor? Is it that bad to take out the garbage? Is that important that I have to have my way? And I can't give you how I came up with a math on this. But 95% of the time, what you're frustrated about doesn't matter. Relative to the shortness and the unpredictability and the certainty of death, only a very few things matter. There was one who knew life and knew eternity. And that was the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus spoke these words. In Matthew 6:33, you should be able to recite this, by the way. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. That's the word of Jesus. That's his word. There has to be something that's first. Mark 8:36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That would be a message in itself right there, friend. There's many people losing their souls for the things of time. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now you can forget everything I say this afternoon. You can say, Terry has his opinion. That's fine. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God, you better take it very seriously. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You and I had better listen and take it seriously. When Jesus says no one can serve two masters, we better understand that very clearly. I must go quickly now. 1,000 years from today, from this day in 2018, go up 1,000 years. You and I will both be in existence. The immortal soul goes on into eternity somewhere. For we will look back in this very short existence, and we will see what really mattered. One man I heard say, he's an old preacher, he says, it's good that God will dry all tears when we get to heaven. Because when we see what really mattered and what we wasted our life on trying to seek, we'll weep. Dear friends, there's only two things. Look at my fingers. Just two things that matter. Not how rich you became. Not how popular or famous. Not whether you got the job of your dreams. Just two things. Listen. Two things. Did I give my heart to Jesus? And did I live for him? It's all you have to worry about, friend. Life can become very simple when you look at it from God's word. You may disagree with the way I'm putting this, but really there's only two people in your life. It's just you and Jesus. Because, dear friends, when you stand before God, your classmates won't be there. Your mom and dad won't be there. All your friends will not be there. It's just you and God. And this whole thing of salvation and living for God involves a relationship with between two people. You and Jesus. I settled that a long time ago. If I had my eyes on people, if I worried about what people thought, I would have given up long ago. When I became a Christian in 1974, I had a battle on my hands. Now, salvation is not a battle. Don't get the wrong opinion. But what I was struggling with, there were so many things and so many people between me and Jesus. I had to determine I'm not going to fuss about religion. I'm not going to argue about churches. I was raised in the church. It was my grandfather's, my great-grandfather's, my great-great-grandfather's, and was supposedly 2,000 years old. But as radical as it might seem, I had to take it and put it aside and said, that doesn't matter. All as I want is to know Jesus. Jesus said, Father, that they might know you. For to know you is life eternal. That's just as simple as you need to keep it. One has said, the closer you are to the Holy Spirit, the simpler your life becomes. The farther you drift away, the more complex things become. Like the Pharisees. Like the Pharisees, you argue about little technicalities. But dear friends, it's just about you and Jesus. You don't answer to me. You don't answer to your pastor, although you should pray for him and love him. Support him and be loyal, yes. But you don't really answer to him. It's you and Jesus. There's a song I wanted to close with. I don't know if you were able to. If you don't, I'll sing it. If you don't mind hearing my groggy voice. Do you have it working? Not the audio.
Do you have video? Okay.
Okay. Follow along if you know the song. It matters so little how much you may own, the places you've been or the people you've known. It all comes to nothing when placed at his feet. It's nothing to Jesus, just memories to keep. Only one life So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life, one life, excuse me. The days pass so swiftly, the months come and go, the years melt away like new falling snow. Spring turns to summer, then summer to fall. Autumn brings winter, then death comes to all. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life. Forgive me for the off-tuneness, but may the message touch your heart. I want to mention one other thing to you. I started pastoring churches in 1979, and I pastored three churches, and I've been in the ISF ministry. Do you know that of the people of that first church, 85% of them are in eternity? 85% of them. I think the second pastorate is like 50%, and the third is, they were a little bit younger crowd. They're still around. But friends, I'm looking into your eyes. We don't know if we'll have another time just like this. Please don't make this just, okay, we get through the service, the doxology's over, we'll go about. Please let the Holy Spirit take this to your heart. Heavenly Father, we are praying for this people that we love and care about. Please, Lord, may your Spirit bring conviction, an awakening, a stirring. Lord God, I pray you would help us to be a people that are awake, that we see life as it really is, that, Lord God, we don't come to the end of our life and realize, yes, we might get to heaven, but we've wasted so much time. Please, Lord, touch from young and old alike. Father, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
我们上周经文是这个耶利米书的这个第十七章的第七节，我们啊读两遍，用中文读两遍，然后用英文读两遍啊。开始，依靠耶和华，以耶和华为可靠的，那人有福了。我们再来一次，依靠耶和华，以耶和华为可靠的，那人有福了。Let's read in English twice too. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. One more time.Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And for this time, for this week, the verse is from Galatians 6 and 7. 我们用中文读两遍，英文读两遍。开始，不要自欺，神是轻慢不得的。人种的是什么，收得也是什么。再一次，不要自欺，神是轻慢不得的。人种的是什么，收的也是什么。Let's read English one more, twice again.Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will be also he reaps. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. 我不要去下水，这个牧师。